We might end up pulling Ryan.
He's there.
Okay, this is Brian from the commissioner. Who's joining us out there?
This is Jason Topp from CenturyLink.
Jason, can you spell your last name?
T-O-P as in Peter, P as in Paul.
Okay, Jason Topp. All right, perfect. All right, well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Kalk. We're meeting in 12th floor of the Capitol today. It is Wednesday, December 18th, approximately 1:35 for a informal on case number PU13-789. Dealing with Quest Corporation's revisions to different parts of their current North Dakota plan. I don't have any opening comments, but I'll see if Randy or Julie have any comments, and then we'll turn it over to the company.
No opening comments for me.
Okay. Commissioner Fedorchak, no. Commissioner Christman?
None for me either.
Okay, perfect. Just a little bit of background. The comments and requests for hearing must be received by December 24th of this year. No one has requested a hearing at this point, but my thought would be we'd go through the informal and get everything taken care of. And we actually have a special meeting coming up, so if things go fine, this could be done here shortly, or it could be not. We'll see. But Kent, are you going to take over, or Jason going to make the case for the company? All right, Kent, if you could just identify yourself, and we'll get Patrick Vaughn and Julie Prescott from staff with us.
Yes, it's Kent Blickensdurfer. I'm the Director of Public Affairs for CenturyLink Corporation in North Dakota.
All right, thank you, Kent. Okay, Jason, it's your nickel. Tell us why this is a good deal for customers.
Thank you so much. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak with the commission. I appreciate the efforts of Mr. Vaughn in helping us to usher this thing through and to give me some preview of what the commissioners might be interested in hearing about today. My plan is to give sort of an overview of what exactly this performance assurance plan and the performance indicator definitions are, why they exist, our history in connection with those documents, why we are seeking to change them, and then a quick view of what the significant changes are, and then beyond that, answer any questions that anyone might have. Does that approach sound appropriate?
Well, I think that's perfect, Jason. I wouldn't envision, and we've got an hour set aside, but I wouldn't envision it being that long, quite honestly. I think just you said the background, and then why you're making the changes going forward. The only question that I had is I'm surprised that nobody has requested more information on this, but it appears that no one is really interested, and I thought there might be a lot of folks who are interested, but I think you
well, we have, this has been an issue that has been, thoroughly negotiated, been in, sort of out there in a number of states, and so in the CLEC community, at least, I think that there's quite a bit of familiarity with what we're doing here. And we have not had an objection raised by staffs or a CLEC in any of the states that have looked at this particular issue, in part because this is a real cooperative effort, I think, to try and address a problem. So just to give some background, in the early, just past the year 2000, Quest at that time sought approval to enter the long distance business. As a part of that process, one of the things that we negotiated in the various states and offered to the FCC was a plan for measuring and ensuring that our wholesale service performance continued to be of a high quality and at parity with what we offered retail customers. And so as a part of that, there were plans negotiated in each of the 14 states where Quest did business or does business now as CenturyLink, that were attached to each interconnection agreement. And there are two documents. One is a performance assurance plan, which is attached as Exhibit 1 to our petition, our new proposed performance assurance plan. In all interconnection agreements, it's attached as Exhibit K to those interconnection agreements. There's also the performance indicator definitions, commonly referred to as PIDs, which is Exhibit B to interconnection agreements and Exhibit 2 to our petition. And what these documents do is attempt to compare wholesale performance to retail, where there's a reasonable analog in place, and determine if there's a statistically significant difference in performance. And for certain of those measurements, if there is a statistically significant difference in performance, certain payments are made to CLEX and or into funds that have been set up to in order to incent Quest, now CenturyLink, to provide high quality performance.
Let me interrupt you just on that. I don't remember where exactly I read it, or maybe I even heard it at a telecom meeting. But you have been paying out some of this money to North Dakota companies, haven't you?
Yes, we have. And
I guess that was the point about, I thought that my guess is this plan will mean you would potentially pay less. Why they're not in here today saying that they don't want the plan to change. That's really the only question I had, is I'm aware you're paying money to North Dakota. You change the plan, why they wouldn't object to it.
Well, and whether we pay, we do hope that we're going to pay less. We expect that we're going to pay less. But that's by no means guaranteed because of the way that the plan is structured. If we continue to perform well, which we certainly hope that we do, we will, in fact, pay less. But if we perform worse, we may wind up paying more under this plan. We certainly do not expect and hope that that will not be the case. Sort of the interests on both sides in this issue, and this is kind of throughout the region. On the CLEX side, there was concern because many of the performance indicator definitions and PAP provisions relate specifically to Quest systems. And one of the things CenturyLink is reviewing and doing is revising the systems that we have in place to provide service to wholesale customers. And so there is a real question as to whether these definitions, how exactly you'd apply this plan after transfer. In addition, from CenturyLink's perspective, we have argued that these plans are no longer necessary because we have demonstrated our ability to perform and have performed very well over a period of time. So both of those factors gave some incentive on the CLEX side to try and address some of these issues. From the CenturyLink side, our concerns are that we think some of the measurement are flawed. In particular, one of the areas where we pay the most money relates to maintenance and repair. And there's one measurement called MR8, which relates to trouble tickets, where we think that we're providing outstanding performance, well over 99% performance. And nonetheless, we wind up paying under the current plan as it now sits because of the way the statistics work. And we viewed that as a flaw, and a flaw that was exacerbated by the way the payments plans worked out that caused those payments to increase if we missed the particular standard each month. There's also a concern from Quest or CenturyLink's perspective related to some provisions that provide for minimum payments. So even if CenturyLink's performance is perfect under the plan, we're required to make certain minimum payments to CLEX. And in North Dakota, that's a significant percentage of the amounts we pay. We don't have data yet for 2013 because it's not complete, but in the years 2010 through 2012, it was in the area of 20% of the amounts that we were paying pursuant to these plans. So those were concerns on the CLEC side as well as concerns that CenturyLink had, and there was a proceeding in Colorado to address these issues, and many of the larger CLECs and those that are smaller ones active in Colorado and CenturyLink got together and spent a long time negotiating a restructured performance assurance plan and performance indicator definitions that result in the agreement that we're bringing before the commission today. The agreement was reached May 23rd of 2013. It's been submitted in all 14 states that comprise the former Quest territory. As of the end of the day yesterday, it had been approved in 11 of those states. And we're not aware of any objections that had been raised in any of the 14 states. We're not aware either by CLECs or staff. We are, and in New Mexico, in fact, there hasn't been objections. There has not been approval yet, but we're circulating right now a stipulation for approval, and I've been copied on a lot of those emails, and I'm not aware of any objection in those states. And as the chair noted, nobody has objected here. I'd be happy to go through some of the, an overview of the changes, if the commission would so like. But in this proceeding, we're asking for an order approving the modifications and deeming interconnection agreements to be modified to include those changes effective January 1st, 2013.
Jason, why don't we do this? Maybe I'll let my colleagues ask their questions, and then we can kind of see what's left after that. Kent had his hand up. The one question I did have, though, is that do you have a number for what you paid in 2012 and 11?
Yeah, in 2011, our grand total payments in North Dakota were $45,475, and in 2012, it was $57,014.
And then do you have a best guess of if these new structures are put in, what that number will change to? Given the recent performance in those areas, I'm sure you must have done some numbers.
Yeah, if performance continues, we do expect those numbers to be cut approximately in half if we're able to continue to perform. There are risks if we don't that would result in higher payments.
Okay, and then could you give me an example of, put a face on who's a North Dakota CLEC that you would pay money to? I mean, I'm sure it's somewhere we could dig out, but I don't know if you have those, because I'm trying to get in my mind who we're talking about here actually in North Dakota that would be, would be affected.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I do not have a list of North Dakota CLECs. I cannot answer that question.
Okay, Patrick Vaughn from staff. Patrick, do you have a thought?
No. Why is you're only looking for one example?
Just one example.
Integra Telecom.
Okay. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, if your performance is great, then that's what we're trying to look for. We're not looking for you to give money to North Dakota because you didn't meet some performance. It's to improve performance. But I just wanted to get a feel. So I don't have any other questions. I don't know if Randy or Julie does.
Are we talking here about strictly relationships with CLECs, not interconnections with other companies, right?
That's correct.
And when you talk about performance, just, generally, are you talking about performance and satisfaction of CenturyLink customers overall, or are you talking about specific performance things in regards to your CLEC relationship?
What the performance that's being evaluated here is our performance with respect to services that we provide to CLECs. And the standard under the Act is that the performance needs to be at parity or similar to what we provide to retail customers. And so what these performance indicator definitions measure is they compare what we provide to retail customers compared to what we provide to wholesale customers, as long as there's a reasonable comparison. In some cases, there's not a reasonable retail comparison to what we provide to wholesale customers. And in those cases, the parties have negotiated just a benchmark, a standard of that we are measured against.
I don't know what kind of, you know, real clear distinctions there might be where North Dakota is a lot different than Colorado or some of the other states that you've finished up in, but whoever all the CLECs are in North Dakota, when you say that nobody's objected so far, was there some kind of a notification process, or are we just assuming that they were following this all the way through and no, or might they be out there and not even know that we're talking about this?
I would be extraordinarily surprised if CLECs didn't know about this process. Integra, for example, was one of the CLECs that negotiated this specific agreement. So they certainly know what is taking place. Other CLECs, I believe, have either been noticed through our filing, have been noticed through informal conversations, have been noticed as a part of industry discussions. And so I think if they're paying attention at all, they would be aware of this. And so the fact that they have not come forward, and no one's come forward in any state to object to this, I think is very significant.
Well, I'm kind of looking at Kent here now, but like Consolidated would be one, right?
Yes.
And so them being strictly a North Dakota company that didn't have, they don't CLEC in Colorado or presumably any of the other states, unless it was, I don't know if they go into Montana or anything. But so, I mean, are we sure that they understand this and have had an opportunity for feedback?
Well, to echo what Jason just said, I'd be surprised if there was a CLEC that didn't know that this was going on. It's been going on for a while. I've had no specific conversations with their CLEC, which I think is CCNI, regarding this filing, but they would have been noticed just by the fact that we filed this here.
And are
noticed. At a very minimum.
You should have noticed as well, a notice of opportunity for hearing. That ends December 24th.
Okay.
And then published it in all the daily papers.
Are the other CLECs in the state, are they more like Consolidated that are just a North Dakota company? Or are the others more like, what was the first name that was thrown out?
Integra.
That are in other states as well?
I think that's more the case. I don't know if companies like, just for an example, Mid-Continent, I'm sure they have an interconnection agreement with us, but I don't know to what extent they act as a CLEC in North Dakota because they use their own facilities for so much of that traffic.
That's right.
So I don't know if we have any of that true, you know, CLEC relationship with a company like Mid-Continent. Consolidated would be the best example of just a truly local company. They might be the only one. Polar might have some. I mean, I think every one of those cooperatives and independently owned LECs, except for the one way out west, Reservation, I think at one time every one of them had a CLEC. I don't know that they're all actively using them anymore or that any of them besides Consolidated is.
Yeah. But they have till December 24th to respond.
Right.
And at that point, we'd have a hearing probably.
Right.
All right. Commissioner Fedorchak?
Just a couple of questions. Jason, you said that you offered to go through all the changes, and I don't think that's necessary. But would it be possible for you to kind of summarize them? I know you identified your two biggest issues being that you were concerned with some of the measurements and some of the requirements for payments minimum payments when your performance was fine. Tell me, can you kind of summarize the biggest changes, the most controversial changes, the things that are likely to be the most significant? If you could walk through some of that, that would be helpful.
Yes, absolutely. Sort of the first big area where there are changes are in the payment structure and the provisions. There's a three-tiered severity level payment structure that we've come up with in accordance with this. And that, at the first level, if we come close to the standard, but, you know, it's a less significant deviation than the standard, it triggers a payment if we've missed three or more consecutive months as opposed to every month under the old plan. If there's a level two deviation, and that is if we miss in two consecutive months, then there is a payment rather than every month under the current plan. And then there's a level three, which is a more significant deviation than for those we would pay each month. There are changes to the payment amounts to three specific levels that are defined according to the severity plan. And so that simplifies the penalty amounts to some extent. We have also revised this escalation provision that we were concerned about so that it increases for each consecutive month of non-conforming performance with the specific amount determined according to that month's level of miss, but there's a cap after 12 months on that escalation. There are some changes to the cap on annual payment amounts. There's some adjustments to the interest rate to tie to the U.S. Treasury rate. And there are some refinements to the dispute resolution process in Section 16.0 and change provisions to make them consistent across states. And then there are a number of changes. The second area where there are changes are for the performance indicator definitions. There are nine PIDs that remain eligible for payments under the redesign PAP, and I won't go through all of those, but they're the ones considered most important. Then there are 10 products that will be reported and as applicable will become payment eligible. And then there are 18 that now are reported on a diagnostic basis as opposed to changing or having payments associated with them. Other changes are consistent with the CLEC concern, make PID language system agnostic to the extent it's possible, to make updates on volume thresholds to reflect certain intervals that have changed in the industry over time, to fix some problems with benchmark standards where some changes in the industry have caused those changes, and to eliminate 25 PIDs entirely, that there was agreement that those, in fact, would not be important. And then finally, there is a Tier 2 payments that go to the state, and those are being eliminated by virtue of this agreement.
And when you say the cooperatively, you mean in Colorado you worked with the CLEC there?
That is correct. Okay. And a part of that agreement was that everybody thought this would be appropriate, that there would be benefit to having consistency in these plans across the 14-state region, and that's why we have brought this forward everywhere.
Okay. Okay, thank you. That was helpful.
Okay.
Okay, Patrick, do you have anything you'd like to? Well, let me rephrase. Jason, do you have anything else you want to offer? And I'll see if our staff has any questions.
Not that I can think of. I'm happy to do my best to answer any other concerns you have.
All right, Kent, do you have anything you wanted to offer? Patrick, Julie, any comments or thoughts?
Question or two. You mentioned that this agreement that you've taken has been approved in 11 states?
That's correct.
And my question to that would be, was it approved without change?
Yes.
In those 11 states? Okay. And then there's a provision that you mentioned that it would be incorporated into existing interconnection agreements?
Yes.
And I don't know if how that works. I was going to check with legal to see if that was something that is okay to approve. Is there anything in the existing interconnection agreements that would allow that?
Yes, and in fact, this commission used those provisions in 2007 when it issued a similar order based on another negotiation. And the PAP and the PIDs that exist right now are a part of interconnection agreements, and they include provisions that allow for modifications pursuant to commission order. And if you give me a moment, I think I can give you the sections to the existing agreements that do that. Unfortunately, I don't have it. I'm not getting my hands on it quickly. I know in Section 16.1 was one that the North Dakota Commission referred to explicitly the last time around, and I believe that the other paragraph is 17.2. And that would be of the plan that is in place right now. There are some adjustments to that language on the new plan that would be in place, but it would allow for a similar type of mechanism for adjustments in the future.
Okay. Would you happen to have that 2007 case number?
Yes. One moment.
PU07.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe it could be a 06.
It was in docket PU06-58.
Okay.
And there was an order issued December 14th, 2007 in that case.
The discussion in Colorado about Tier 2, how did that go? I mean, how did that come about? How did it come up? And then why did they decide to eliminate Tier 2?
I think there's I guess I can't testify specifically as to how that discussion went in Colorado. I do think that there is a recognition that, you know, the money that the plans already provide significant incentive for adequate performance. In many states, we do not have Tier 2 payments, and performance has been just as good in those cases. From a CLEC perspective, what they're interested in is quality performance as opposed to payments to the state. And the states thus far, I think, have found it difficult to deal with the Tier 2 payments, which often have, you know, some specific purpose set forth for which they're distributed. And so there really has been a lot less discussion about that than you might think, but it really has not been a significant issue of concern.
Okay. And then I don't know if commissioners have time for one more kind of like a real life example, but how does the PID and the PAP, how do those documents help in a situation where you have a competitive company that's interconnected with you and they're having trouble providing quality service to the customers they've signed up in rural areas? How would this help?
Well, what it does is it provides objective measures of the service that we are providing to that CLEC and compares it to what we're providing to our retail customers, and that's retail customers as a whole as opposed to one particular area in North Dakota. And if we're providing significantly worse service to that CLEC on these key measurements, then we're going to wind up making payments and filing those results with the commission. And so it doesn't replace a specific complaint if the CLEC believes that its problems are due to the performance of CenturyLink, but it does provide an overall view and an overall incentive to provide high quality service to CLECs.
Provided that your penalty is more than what it would cost to, or I'm going to rephrase that, less than what it costs to do the upgrades, that becomes a challenge, I think, if I explained that right. But I think in today's world of continuing telecommunication, people being able to walk away with their feet, we're all trying to get the service up there. But I think that's what you're trying to get at, Pat, isn't it?
The other thing I think I'm hearing is that, and I suspected that, when you have an individual case, or you may have a case of one to, like, say, one customer, seven customers, since they're doing things overall, over the whole state, and these indicators are more general, it won't, you know, an individual case or seven or an individual small location might not impact the PID-PAP penalty provisions, might not show up.
Yeah, it may not, but by the same token, you know, if it's a smaller CLEC that doesn't have real high volumes, it can be a pretty stringent standard that CenturyLink's required to meet in order to be considered providing adequate service. So it does provide some incentive in that respect. I would say that there are, this plan deals with CenturyLink's existing network. It doesn't deal with, you know, the question of when or where the network should be upgraded and that sort of thing. So I heard a sense in the questions about sort of upgrading plant and that sort of thing to a particular area. This is really independent of that question. This deals with access to our network as it exists right now.
Okay. Patrick, anything else?
Well, that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Julie, do you have anything? Before I forget, Jason, will you offer up yours and Kent's testimony?
Yes.
Okay, and we would be happy to receive it. I don't have any further questions. I'll double-check with my colleagues. Julie?
None for me.
Randy?
No other questions.
I assume you guys would like this sooner than later decision.
We sure would. Ideally, we would like, well, what we'd like are these changes to be effective January 1st. We would definitely prefer to have the order before that date. If it's necessary to issue the order after January 1st, we would ask that the commission do so retroactively to the 1st of January, but that would not be our preferred approach.
Okay, I'll just put it to you and Patrick to work this out. We have a special commission meeting December 30th that we're going to be tying up a lot of loose ends, and so, Pat, if you can get a draft order to the commissioners, if one of us wants a work session, we could do it. Otherwise, I'd anticipate the potential vote on the 30th. So, that sound reasonable?
Mm-hmm. It does.
Mandy, it sound reasonable? Okay, I don't think I can be any clearer than that, I guess. So we'll
I think it's probably implied, but clearly we can't do anything until after the 24th.
Absolutely.
The notice for opportunity goes by.
But if you can work with Patrick, Jason, to make sure that you get a draft, I think you already probably just adopting this would be a pretty simple order.
Yep.
But if you could just get that out, Pat, and then let the commissioners look at it and see. So
shouldn't be too bad. If I run into a snag, I'll contact Jason and Blake.
Okay. All right. Any other comments for the good of the discussion?
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Jason.
I wanted to thank Jason for all the information and helping us through it, and also thank Kent. It's good to have him here, and he's been just a wealth of information on telecommunications issues for a lot of years here, helping us through things like PAPs and PIDs and everything else we've done to keep North Dakota on the right side of the digital divide. So thank you, Kent.
Perfect. Julie, anything else?
Nothing else.
All right, we'll go ahead and close the informal on case number PU13-789. Thank you all.
Thank you.
First time in my life anyone's called me a wealth of information. Wish my mom would have been listening.
yes. All right. You got a second?
Yep.
Thanks, Pat.
Kids and past. Well, I went to the workshops when we were going through all this down in Denver and sat with Bill Benick and Pat for 5-6 days at a time.
Just reading.
Well, they argued over commas and sentences on kids and past. It was brutal.
Yeah, it was, all those.
You're glad
measures.
To get out of there, huh?
it was
like
rough.
Bible.
Yep.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, that stuff. All it's technical.
And it went, you know, the performance assurance plan was never specifically required by the FCC, but it kind of became apparent to the Bell operating companies that if you didn't have one, there was no way they were going to prove it. So,
well, that's